Okay, we are on the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Nish Beis Chayev Liftosa, right? So again, talking about the question of when the man's wife is taken captive and the requirement to redeem her. Okay, so says the Mishnah, says the Gemara as follows, Tana Rabbana Nish Beis Bechayev Baila V'achakach Meis Baila. So what happens if she is taken captive while he's alive, the husband, and then he dies before she's been redeemed? So hikir babayla. So if he realized what had happened while he was still alive, so then yorshin chayav nivdosa. So then the yorshim, who again they're going to be yorish his money, so now they have to take his money and use it to the yorish they get from him and get use it to be po to her, because presumably it was a his chayvas he already that was already like. Began when he was alive. Lo hikir babayla, but if he never realized it, and so he never himself realized he's going to have such a responsibility, ein yorshin chayav nevdosus. Then the yorshim don't have a chiyav to be poed to her either. So, okay, so Levi sav lemebar uvda ki hamas nisa. So Levi, there was a maisa shahaya, a story like this, and Levi thought to follow this brisa. Amalei Rav. So Rav said to him, Hachi Amar Chavivi. So Chavivi said, who's Chavivi? Rashi says, Chavivi is Rabbi Chia, Shehu Dodo Achi Aviv. He was his uncle. So he called him Chavivi because he was his uncle. But okay. So Levi wanted to follow this Braisa. And so Rav said to him, Hachi Amar Chavivi. This is what my uncle told me. Leis Hilchosaki Hamas Nisa. We don't pass like this. And like he had the sanya, we'd rather be passing like the following price. Nishbeis la'achar misas baila ein hayisod mechayav nifdosa. So the price says, sorry, it's against the Tosefta, that says that if she's nishbeis after the death of the husband, so yisodim do not have to be poed to her. V'la'od, not only that, but ela afil nishbeis l'chayim baila. But even if she was taken captive while he was alive, v'achach meis baila, and then he dies, ein hayisodim l'chayav nifdosa, because so not only does he not have to be poed to her after he dies, but even if she was nishbeis while he was alive, and then he dies before the pidyon takes place, the children don't have to be poed to her. Why? Because the whole point is that was the tanaim d'ksuba, that he says I will redeem you and take you back to be my wife. Now it's impossible. He died, at which point it's over, and so therefore that's why. Rabbi Chia said, you don't have to be poda as long as he dies before she is, as long as he's died, before she is returned. Okay. So Tan Rabbanan, Nishbeis v'hayim mevakshim imenu ad asar bedameha. So what happens if she's taken captive? Now they're asking 10 times what the reasonable value is to bring her back. Okay, so Pam Rishon Nepoda. The first time, he's got to pay it. Mikan ve'elech, Ratza Poda, Ratza Ein Nepoda. So this afterwards, he can choose. Okay, Rashi says, why wouldn't he can choose? So Rashi says, Ratza Ein Nepoda, and we're going to see this in a second. The Lo Takinu Bar Rabbanon Ela Pachad Pinyon. The Chazal only required him to take care of one pinyon. He doesn't do over and over and over and over again. Okay. Mishim Golmil Omer. Mishim Golmil says, Ein Poden Es HaShvuyin Yoser Al Kadei Demehen. So wait a second. We don't do this ever. You will never buy someone back for 10 times more than their usual value. Why is that? Because we don't allow people to redeem captives for more than their value. Because of tikkun olam, what's tikkun olam? In this case, says Rashi, because what's going to happen is the first time, you know this, right? You don't negotiate with terrorists. You negotiate with terrorists, then terrorists just keep kidnapping people. So if we pay these high values, so then we're never going to be able to manage all the kidnapping that's going to take place. So fine. So but what's the implication? Right? But if it is the right amount, so then you do have to be poed. Afagav de prekona yosra al ksubasa. And that's true even if the amount of the redemption is more than the value of her ksuba. That's the implication, right? Right, because it sounds like you don't give more. But if you give more, what is the appropriate amount, so that's fine. Okay, but that's true. Or meaning you have a contradiction. Why? Nishbeis v'hayim mevak is another price that has the following. Nishbeis v'hayim mevak shim nimenu adasar b'ksubasa. If She was taken captive, and now they ask for 10 times what her ksuba is worth, right? So not 10 times worth her value, but 10 times what her ksuba is worth. So Pami Shona Poda Mikav Elech Ratza Poda Ratza Eino Poda. The first time you should be Poda, afterwards you can choose. You don't have to. Rishon Gamliel Omer Im Hayipir Kona Keneged Ksuba. So Rishon Gamliel says if the value of redeeming her is the same as her ksuba, poda, imlav, inopoda, right? But if not, then you don't. So it's the same idea, but it's her value versus her versus the value of the ksuba. So now you have, so which one is it? Shmuel says you can't pay more than what her value is, or you can't pay more than what the ksuba is worth. Which one? So Rabbi Shmuel, tre kule islay. So my answer is no, it's not a contradiction. Rabbi Shmuel holds both, meaning the value can't be more than her value, and also can't be more than her ksuba. Two kulos for who? Two kulos for the husband. Just to be clear, right? The amount that he has to pay is not more than either of those, and that's what the Gemara means. Okay, that's what the price meant. Okay, laksa chay l'raposa, right? So we have another concept that if she gets sick, he has to pay for her refua. Okay, so Tanu Rabbanan. Tan Rabbanan, Amana nizonis minichse yesomim utzricha refua harehi kimizonos. So the amana, we know, gets her mizonos taken care of by the yesomim, right? By the children of the man who passed away, her husband, utzricha refua, and if she needs to, some type of medication or some type of medical treatment, so that's considered like mizonos, meaning they have to pay for that too. Mishim Gomil Omer, Refua Sheyesh La Kitzva Nisrapas Miksubasa, Shein La Kitzva Harehi Kimizonos. So Mishim Gomil makes a distinction. It says it depends on the type of Refua. The Refua has a Kitzva, right? It has some type of beginning and end. There's, it happens only very specific ways, or specific amounts. So then what happens? So then she has to use her ksuba money for that, not for the mizonos. But if it's a refua she'in la kitzva, it's like an ongoing medical need. So then harei ki mizonos, because that's like it's a continued need that continues to happen. It's a one time thing. So that's not mizonos. Mizonos are things that are a consistent necessity for life, right? Constantly. So if it's something she needs once a week, she needs to go for a certain medication or a certain doctor, etc. So then there's no kitzva to it. There's no kitzva. You don't know exactly when it's going to end ever. So then that's like mizonos, right? Person always needs food, always needs drink, etc. But if it's a specific procedure which will take place one time, so then that she should pay for herself. Basically, she pays from the ksuba money. Look at Rashi. It says mizonos ein lahem kitzva. It's like the third line in the skin lines of Rashi. Mizonos ein lahem kitzva hilkach refua sheyesh la kitzva she'ena chola tadir ein bechlam mizonos. Right? Something that doesn't have a that mizonos don't have a kitzva either, right? So therefore, a refua that does have a kitzva, that's not, there's not sick all the time. That's not called mizonos. The same thing we just mentioned before. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asu Hakasas Dam Be'eretz Yisrael Kerefua She'en Lam Kitzva. So Hakasas Dam, right? Bloodletting was something they would do like so frequently in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazal said, what should we call that? So the answer was that's called Refua She'en Lam Kitzva, and that's why it's considered like a mizonos. It's like a typical thing that people constantly need to do. Okay, Krivid Rabbi Yochanan Havelahu. It's us Abba to have a tzricha refuah. So relatives of Yochanan, they had their father's wife, right? And their father had passed away. So their father's wife had to have a tzricha refuah kol yoma. She needed some type of refuah every single day. So that's clearly a refuah she'in la kitzva, right? So they're going to have to keep paying for this every single day. So us lekamed Rav Yochanan, they came to Rav Yochanan, Amar lahu, and he said to them, Izilu kotsu lahe mide lerofe. So what should you do? He said, go to the doctor and turn it into make a negotiation. Instead of making it be a daily payment, make it into some type of Rashi says, "Kotzu le midei l'rofe sheikabel alav refuasa olamis bekach v'kach." You make a deal. This is the amount of money it's going to be, and it'll be that way, you know, indefinitely. And therefore, you're not paying consistently. You're paying one time. Right? It'll be a good chap. And if that happens, what's going to happen? So now it becomes refuah sheyesh l'kitzvah, and now they don't have to pay anymore. Right? So it's a good chap, but it's going to mess her over financially. So I'm Rav Yochanan, and then Rav Yochanan said, "Ay, asinu atzmini ka'orcha yadayanim." No offense, but he said we made ourselves into lawyers. Sorry, John. Right? He's give out. What did I do? I made myself like into a lawyer. Like the rabbi became a lawyer. So meikar myself. Barlamasof myself. Wow. He gave the advice, and then he's upset. So what's going on here? So what do you think? And then what do you think afterwards? So he says meikar savar sarecha lo tisale. Right? Sarecha lo tisale. Originally he thought, yeah, generally you're supposed to take care of your family. So my family came to me with a problem, so I gave them advice. And then he thought afterwards, it's not right. The rabbi should not be the one giving you, a good chap, how to pull moves. That is not appropriate for the rav to be giving advice like that. And therefore, he thought, it wasn't wrong, it wasn't incorrect, but it's not appropriate. Adam Chashev should not be giving such advice. Okay.
If it's not mizunos, right, he still has to pay, just reduces it, offsets the amount ultimately of the Masayim Zuzu or the.
No, but she already received, meaning when he dies, right, she collects the ksuba immediately, and that money belongs to her. The mizunos is coming from the Yerusha, right? So when he dies, the children get money, and then when the children get that money, now they have, the Yerusha goes directly to them, but the wife gets taken care of. So the Ksuba money is her money. The Yerusha money is their money.
Yeah, but didn't we see, does that cut it off? If once she decides to take that option of collecting that Ksuba money, whether it's a divorce or passes away, doesn't that cut off then the mizunos? The mizunos is as long, provided that she hasn't decided to
take the Ksuba?
Or not? I thought there was some implication of what we were saying.
I do remember we talked about that. Yeah, but it doesn't sound like that, right?
Right.
It sounds like, I mean, what it clearly sounds like here is that there's like two pots. Yeah. One is the ksuba money that's hers, and one is their Yerusha money, which they're supposed to continue to be zan her with. Right? That's what it sounds like.
Right, although the tone of Banan up ahead did seem to suggest that it is offsetting the ksuba amount. Okay, I don't
Where? Tell me.
The up above before Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shein lo kitzvah, he can zonos.
Tanu Rabbanan, Amar Nizonos, Tilsi Yisomim? Which one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Or like here, like for example, I'm not that it's positive, like there's a note here that says, it quotes Rashi and then it says, Yisomim may therefore deduct those medical expenses from the Kesuva award they are obligated to pay. So like it offsets.
It offsets.
Yeah.
So then what's the difference? It's like a wash, no?
I think maybe the point is that once they can continue to get mizunos, unless they opt to collect the Masayim Zuz, or if she's an Almana, the 100 Zuz.
From the Ksuba.
Right, that's like that's the payment that cuts it off. But she can continue to collect mizunos until she just holds, she defers that until some future.
Interesting. Future. Okay, we have to clarify. That's a good question. Right, you're saying when it comes from the ksuba, you're saying that's not really her money. Also, that's right. Like just them offset, paying it from the offset of the ksuba. It could be, yeah. We'll have to. That's a good question. We should clarify that. That's a good point.
When that's like the corruption of Gamliel, he says it's rabbis miksubasa. When it's
ksubasa, it's not ksubasa that she's already collected. That's what Jonathan's saying. It's ksubasa that like is coming her way eventually.
Right. She reduces the amount that
in that case, but she ain't lo kitzvah hareiki mizunos.
Right.
The opposite of that is that irrespective of her getting the ksuba, you still are supporting her.
Right.
So that's the difference.
You're saying it is two pots, but she maybe hasn't collected the ksuba yet.
Right.
So it's coming out of what will be the future ksuba as opposed to coming out of but it's just there Yerusha. It still is two pots, right?
It has kitzvah, but it is offsetting ultimately that 200 masayim zuz or 100.
Right.
Right,
but it's still, two different pots then. I mean, it's still two different amounts of money.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But I think the question is, if she opts to collect that amount, does that cut off any
future? Yeah, I don't know. It's not clear.
Yeah.
If so, then Rabbi Yochanan really messed her over when he gave that advice. But yeah. Okay.
Which is maybe why we have that very draconian statement about the...
Or Chayav Dayanan? Yeah. Which doesn't mean lawyers. It means something else.
I don't think it's a person.
Yeah. all of this is really just to hit that final point. I understand. Yeah. I get it. Okay. No, it's a good haver. Okay. Okay. Let's see the next Mishnah. Lo kasav la benin dichrin. Diyahavu lachi minai. Inon yarsin kesev ksubaseich yeser al chokayon. So if he didn't write the following, benin dichrin means the sons that we have from this marriage that you'll have from me do not get the Yerusha of the Kesef of the Ksuba more than their chelak, right, with their brothers. So let's say he didn't write that. So it doesn't matter. Chayev, Shutai Bezim, we mentioned this before, he's getting more examples of conditions that are supposed to be written in the Ksuba, and if they're not written, it doesn't matter, he didn't write them because that's what we expect, that's supposed to happen. So that's number one. B'nin nukvin diyahavin l'chiminai, what about if he didn't write the daughters, which you'll have for me, yahavin yasvan bebesi, they should stay in my house, u'mitzan minichsai, and they'll continue to be, you know, taken care of from my money, ad tilakchon l'guvrin, until they're married to other men, Chayev, he still has to. Why is Shutai Bezin? Because he's responsible for that. At tehe yasav beisi umidzana benichsai koyamei meger amanuseich. And again, if he doesn't write, you can stay in my house and be zan for my nechasim as long as you are remaining almanim. You don't get a new husband. Amanuseich beisi chayev. Why Shutai Bezin? It's Shutai Bezin. He has to pay for it. Kach hayu anchi Yerushalayim kosvin. This is what the anchi Yerushalayim would write. Anche Galil. So they would write these things. Anche Galil, hayu kosvin ka anche Yerushalayim. And the Anche Galil would also write like the Anche Yerushalayim. Anche Yehuda, hayu kosvin ache yirtsu hayorshim litain lacha ksubaseich. John, is like what you were saying, right? So the Anche Yehuda, they would write, this is all true until the children want to give you your ksuba. Lefikach imratzu yorshin nosin la ksubasa upochinosa. And that's why according to this approach, if the Yorshim want to give it the Ksuba and be impacted themselves so they can do that. Fine, so we're going to have to see as we move along something good. This will clarify some of the questions that we had asked before about the order. Fine. Just to clarify this point that the sons getting more than their chelik, what are we talking about? So you just look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Yesrachu Kahon Di'imachuhon, B'nei Isha Acheres, right? If let's say the husband had been married to two women, and they have different children from the two women. So, im tamosi bechayai v'irasheich yitlu banayich ksubasayich. Right. So, if he dies, you know, while she's alive. So then he says, if she dies while I'm alive. And then, so that what's going to happen is the sons will get the ksuba, and how they're going to, you know, collect, etc. So the point being is that maybe minafkamina shema meruba hi or shema yihu bnei isha acheres merubim, right? Ubanecha ubanayech muatim. One of them has more children than the other, so the amount of money each child is going to get is not going to be it wouldn't exactly be the same. So v'tov lehen sheyidlu ksubas iman v'hamerubim ksubas iman v'afidlu ksubas shabos. So it's the right thing to do is that each one gets based on their own mother. So the point is, if he didn't write that specifically, it doesn't matter. That's still going to be, everyone's going to get, you know, if there's five women for a ksuba of 1,000 and there's, you know, five children and three children for a ksuba of 1,000, they should each get just make up the 1,000, right? So each child will get, one family will get more, one family will get less, but fine. Okay, so says the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Mishum Megon Ben Yochai. Why did the Chazal make a takana like this of ksubas b'din dichrin, right? Knowing that the sons split up the ksubas of their mothers, you know, equally amongst the children. So why was that? It was because if they do this, then what's going to happen? Then it'll make sure that the fathers write a dowry for their child. What do we mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi is b'nei shemati kinu tiknu ksubas b'din dichrin me'achar she'abal yorish es ishto. Anyways, a husband typically is yorish's wife, right? So lama takinu she yorish lebaneha ma she yirish mimena dahainu nedunya shela. So basically what happens is the husband always gets what the wife owns, And then eventually when he dies, who does it go to? It goes to the sons. So all the money is going to the sons anyways. Right? So why do they make this takana that the sons of the mother get the ksuba? What's this about? So it's because this way the husband, the father of daughters, is going to make sure to give his daughter a big dowry. Why? Because that money will go directly to his grandchildren and not to the husband. And that's sort of the idea here. And that money ends up transferring. When we say ksuba, right, we don't always mean the ksuba that the husband is giving to the wife, but it means the money that she brings into the marriage.
So it stays in the family.
So the father-in-law, right, the father of the daughter, says, I'm going to give her a lot of dowry, right, because that money will actually stay with the grandchildren and won't go directly to the husband.
That's sort of it.
People want to keep money in their own family. That's what they want to do. So by making this takana, that it stays with the sons, so therefore, you're going to get the fathers-in-law to give a bigger dowry to the wife, which will be better for the families in general. They'll be taken care of. Okay. They're going to give the same to their husband, to their son, to their daughter, to make sure that they'll end up, the daughters will get enough also. So wait a second. You have such a situation where the Torah says the son gets Yerusha and the daughters don't, and now the Rabbanon come and make a takana that the daughters get more? Like, that's what you're doing. You're kind of influencing the din or the reality that daughters will get more Yerusha. So Hanami, so the Gemara says, no, Hanami de Raisa. What do you mean? That's also the Raisa. Why? Dechsev, kechu nashim volidu banim ubanos, ukechulu b'nechem nashim, best minosechem tenula nashim. Right? Because what does the pasuk say? It says, in Yirmiyahu, take wives, right, and have children, and sons and daughters, and then take for your sons daughters, and for your daughters, take sons. Bishlam abanim biyadeha kaimei. I understand sons take, you're going to take, you know, daughters for your sons. That I get. The sons are in your hand, right? But you can't determine which sons are going to marry your daughters. That's usually the daughters are taken by the sons. So what do you mean? So hakamashlan the nilbasha venis nichsa venesiv lamide kihechi de kafse Allah v'asu naspela. No, meaning the answer is there are certain things you can take into your own hands to make sure that the sons are going to want to marry her. For example, if you give a nice dowry, so you're more likely to get a certain young man for your daughter, and that's what you should do. Okay. So says the Gemara, "Ad kama, but how much?" So by every rabbi, the Amar Tavayu, "Adli isur nichse." A person can give up to 10% of their income to their child, to their daughter, as a dowry. Okay, if aima da av liros the ba lo liros, and you're going to say that the father is going to, you know, maybe we should say, right, that they'll get the father's yerusha, but they're not going to get the husband's yerusha. So im kain av nami mimna v'lo kasev. Meaning, so if you do that, then the father's is not going to be willing to give it. Meaning, if you end up saying, so fine, they shouldn't get the husband's at all. They'll get the grandfather's money, but they're not going to get the husband's money. So maybe we should do that. And just if you do that, then what's going to happen is the grandfather won't give it either. Because he's again the father of the daughter. He wants to make sure that there's more. Everyone's giving equally. No one wants to be the only one giving. So if ema hecha the kasev av lichtov bal, hecha the lo kasev av lo lichtov bal. So maybe we'll say that when the father writes it in, so then the husband will write it in also. But if the father doesn't write it, then the husband won't write it either. No, says we're not a lo plug rabbanon. We're not going to start like every case. Will determine who writes it, who doesn't write it, who's giving, who's not giving. We made a low plug that everyone gives. Bas ben abanim nami tiros. So what if you have a daughter amongst sons? So she should also get from the mother, right? No, kanach le shavi rabbanon. Again, these are all the rabbanans. So once they're rabbanans, the chazal can do whatever they want, right? So the answer is no. Nach that when they made it like nachla, like you always say, the rabbanan are kein derais tikkun. Whenever Chazal make a takana, they try to mirror it. They make it resemble the din d'oraisa. So if Yerusha always goes to sons, they made this ksuvas ben dichman also go to the sons, not to the daughters. Okay, bas ben abanos tiros. But what if it's just daughters and daughters? So then the daughters should get not lo plug rabbanon again. They didn't make a distinction. This is usually a benin dichman. It's not for the daughters. Fine. V'tikve mitatale. Maybe they should get it from a talton, not from karka. No, k'ksuba shavi rabbanon. Again, they didn't want to do that. They make it like a k'suba, and that's why k'suba, we said, always comes from the the nichas mishabadim always comes from karka. Okay, tidrof mibishab day so maybe they should be able to collect it from mishubadim. So yarsen tanan. And it says, no, we don't say that because it's got to be Yerusha. It's money that's in his hands, not money that's been sold already. So that we don't. That's not a Hukizuba, right? It's Yerusha. And that's why that's not going to work. Ve'ema af agav the lake of Mosar Dinar. And maybe you'll say it's true even if there's no money left over. There's a halacha that if a person has to collect the, you know, the ksuba, and it leaves the person with so little money, so we don't allow them to collect. There's got to be a Mosar Dinar, some money left over. So answer the Gemara, welcome to Kamiyakra Nachla Daraisa Lotakin Rabbanan. So the answer is no. If it could be a situation where you're going to actually make it, there's no Nachla left for the person, so then Chazal didn't make such a takana. There's got to still be Mosar Dinar, this concept of Mosar Dinar, having some money left over after the collection of all this stuff. Fine. So we'll stop here. We'll stop here for, you know, for the week. There's a story about Rav Papa which continues all the way into the next daf. So we'll pick that up next week, which we'll figure out what day because of Slichos. So we'll figure out when exactly we're going to. Okay.